Glory to God. Hallelujah. Everybody excited to be in church tonight? As my wife said, you know, I'm stirred and excited tonight. I believe every week when we come that we have a message from heaven. I believe that, you know, that I've gotten the right download and that we believe the Lord bring utterance and things like that. But, you know, there's messages that you'll get a little more excited for. Sometimes there's things and messages that they just really connect with a lot of things. And tonight's message is one of those. Actually, this weekend's worth of messages. I not only got tonight's message, I got tomorrow's message. I got Tuesday night's message. Praise the Lord. So I'm raring to go and just excited for it. But tonight's message is something that's near and dear to my heart. And I believe that it's near and dear to the Lord's heart. In fact, I know that it is. Amen. And it's so close to his heart, I believe this, that we aren't going to see anything without this operating in our lives. Amen. And that's why it's so important, because if we desire to see a move of God on this earth, if we desire to see people in this church, if we desire to see people get, and we don't want just people in the church, you understand. We don't just want to fill a bunch of seats, but what we want is we want people that come in and get connected to God's plan for their lives. Amen. You know, I was thinking about that as we were reading Jeremiah 29:11. Jeremiah 29:11, of course, is an exciting scripture, and we all generally love that scripture. But, you know, one of the things about it that we tend to kind of focus on or stay with is we tend to focus on the part that he has a plan for us. But, you know, really, he does have a plan for us, and that should excite us, but we should be more excited by the fact that he has a plan. And so, therefore, our desire should be to find out what's in that plan. And that plan is more than just us. That plan has more to do than just a little bit of everybody else, and then a lot to do with us. But it's a little bit of us and a lot to do with everybody else. Amen. And everything else. Glory to God. So tonight's message is called "Whose Serve Is It?" Praise the Lord. And it got me thinking about ping pong. I don't know if you've ever played ping pong. Some people call it table tennis. I call it ping pong because that's its real name. Amen. It's not table tennis. That's just somebody trying to be fancy, but it's ping pong. I like ping pong. You use a ping pong ball, not a table tennis ball. So just in case you didn't know, amen. But if you ever played ping pong, if you get good at ping pong, the serve becomes a very good tool, a great tool, in fact, for what you're going to do. Amen. When you're playing ping pong, you know, if you know how to serve a ball, it's exciting to you. If you don't know how to serve a ball, you're going to be probably a little bit intimidated. I remember as I was first learning, and I'm not an expert at ping pong or anything like that, so I'm not trying to say that, but I do know some of the principles of it. Amen. But to a novice, the serve can be a little bit scary because it's easy to, you know, when something is in motion, it's easy to kind of keep it going, or we should say it's easier to keep it going. You might not keep it going in the right direction or anything like that. But you know this, if you've learned to serve, and I actually at one point when I was in Boy Scouts, we played a lot of ping pong. That's one of the things we would do every week is we'd play ping pong. And so I got good at it, or fairly good at it back then by default. And I learned a few ways to serve, and one of the ways that I learned to serve was kind of a trick serve, you know, that it would come really fast and really low, and it would always kind of throw the people off. And so I learned that the serve was a great tool, amen? And we have to understand that if you master the serve, you master the game. Praise the Lord. And that's truth, because you can really get people on that time. So a serve, when it's time to serve for somebody who knows, it's exciting. Yes. Well, see, the same thing should be for a Christian. Yeah. When it's time to serve, it's exciting because you understand that if you master the serve, you master the game. Right. See, where a lot of Christians fail is they fail in the serve. Yeah. I said where a lot of Christians fail, they fail in the serve. Now, when I say the serve, you know what I'm talking about, because I'm not beating around the bush too much. But when I say when they fail in the serve, I mean they fail in serving. They fail in what serving is. And what we're talking about today is not just that you make sure that, you know, that the seats are straight or that the church is clean or that you usher right or that you know, that you brought the right food or whatever it is you got to do. Amen. But we need to look at serving from a different perspective. Amen. And serving is imperative in the body of Christ. Serving is the answer to a lot of your problems. Amen. How you serve is an answer, will be an answer to a lot of your problems. In fact, this week, why don't we first turn over to Colossians 3:17. And while you're turning here, I'll tell you what happened to me this week. As I was studying this week, I was actually reading a book. And it was really blessing me in a very challenging way, we'll say that. You know, it was challenging me to come up higher and to think about things differently. And one of the things that I started picking up in my spirit as I was reading this book, and this book has a lot of word in it, so it's not just that, you know, it's not the Bible, but it's sharing a lot of Bible. And so as I was reading the book and seeing the perspective, which I believe is true biblically, and I was looking at the scriptures, it was really stirring me, and I started seeing something about sometimes the way we go through trial. You know, we go through trial, we feel a trial, and as a Christian, we really don't ever have, been saying this for a long time, I've gotten revelation partway and I didn't get it all the way, that we, have, as a Christian, you really don't have any reason to complain. Because if you know who you are in Christ, you have nothing to complain about. There's nothing that's beyond you. There's nothing that God won't open for you. There's nothing that you can't trust Him for. And so if you know who God is, if you're a Christian, there's no reason to really complain. But what about when we go through trials? A lot of times when we go through trials, that's the thing that gets us. The trial is always the thing that makes us uncomfortable or the thing that hurts us or the thing that stirs us up or the thing that distracts us or whatever. The trial is the thing that always seems to get at us. Amen? But see, we look at it wrong. And what I started seeing this week is, and I believe this is what the Lord was showing me. Now, they didn't say this in the book, and they didn't specifically see this in the Bible, but as I was seeking God on what I was learning and having a heart for these things, what the Lord started dealing with my heart about was this idea that when I'm going through something, that instead of weeping for myself, I could weep for someone else. Instead of feeling sorry for myself, I can feel sorry for someone else. And why is that? Because I already have all the answers I need. Yeah. I already know that the answer, that God is good and He's going to take care of me no matter what. I know that. Can't change that in me. I know it's going to happen. Sometimes it don't necessarily feel that way. But what if I took that energy that when I'm feeling pain, when I'm feeling suffering, and instead of feeling it for myself, what if I feel it for someone else? Does that make sense? Yeah. That I project that onto someone else. And what I mean is that I use it as a matter, instead of something that depresses me and takes away from my day, that I turn it around and start using it as a way for me to have compassion for people, for me to start desiring good for other people, and then to start looking for that. Amen? Yeah. Praise the Lord. And so making my pain or my suffering not about me, directing it onto someone else, somebody else who doesn't have the truth yet. Because I have the truth, I should stand in the truth. And this is just a maturity thing. I believe it's exactly what the Lord did. I mean, it's exactly what Jesus did. He didn't stay in His own suffering, that He always was looking beyond it to someone else. Amen? And we know that according to Scripture, it says, for the joy that was set before Him, the joy that was set before Him was your salvation and mine. Praise the Lord. And so as we think about God, we need to think about this. As we think about serving, we need to think about this. Not just serving. You know, you get a lot of people that will serve and they want to serve like where they're good at serving. And listen, there's nothing wrong with using your talents if you know your talents. Amen. Especially if you are talented. Amen. Nothing wrong at all with using your talents for the Lord. But our serving should not be about our talents. Amen. And we're going to get into this more, I think, as we go. But let's go ahead and start reading Scripture. Colossians 3 and verse 17. It says here, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through Him to God the Father. Praise the Lord. Whatever we do in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus. There's nothing that a Christian should do that they can't ask themselves, would God be happy with this? There's nothing that should be on our hearts to do that we can't put before the Lord and say, Lord, I'm doing it for your glory. Now, you know, we can do a lot of things. We can, do a lot of mundane things in life, but that can still apply. Even when you're just walking down the street, do I walk down the street to the Lord's glory? And I know that might sound funny, but the idea is considering God and what he wants at every point and every minute of the day, glory to God, to constantly put ourselves, reminding ourselves of who he is and our connection to him and how is my day reflecting on him. You see, the problem is what happens with a lot of people is they get so distracted by life that they forget that God is involved or wants to be involved in their life. They get so distracted by what's going on that they forget that there's a Heavenly Father who's just waiting for them. Amen? And the wonderful thing about it is he's waiting for each and every one of us. And sometimes he has to wait for a long time. Do you know that we can do even the most mundane things, we can do them in the presence of God, if we realize we're doing them in the presence of God. And if we realize that we're doing things in the presence of God, we realize that the things that we're doing have an effect, that they have a purpose, and that if we're not doing them for the right purpose, we need to cut them out. In fact, I wrote this down in my notes for myself this week as I was studying out. I take notes for myself. So, you know, we sit in church and we talk about taking notes, which is a good thing, but I even take notes when I'm sitting and studying the Word myself. Amen? But I wrote it down that anything that takes away from, distracts me from his plan, it's not worth it. It's not worth it to keep it in my life. Praise the Lord. And so I think about the things that we can accumulate. Some things we can accumulate that God won't say anything about. Do you know that God will let you grow? He will let you accumulate things and won't ever tell you whether or not they're good or bad or if they're helpful or not. Do you know that the Lord will do that? See, a lot of people just think because they increase that it's just God blessing them. They just automatically assume that. And God's increase will bless you. And God's blessing will increase you. Praise the Lord. But that doesn't mean that everything that increases in our life is helpful or beneficial. Praise the Lord. I love what Reverend Greer always says. He says, what you obtain, you must maintain. And that's kind of been a mantra in my life since I've heard it. And I appreciate that I've heard that because there's truth to it. There's things that I can obtain from the that are perfectly not sinful, perfectly good. Anybody would consider them good. But all they do is distract me from what I'm called to do. All they could do is distract me or be a distraction in my life from being close to him. And we have to weigh those things. And this is how we serve him. We serve him with the willingness. Do you know the word serve actually very often in the Bible is also synonymous with the word worship? That sometimes, not all the time, but sometimes they're the same word. It's a different kind of worship, but we understand and God has always taught this, that worship and serving really go hand in hand. In fact, serving is a form of worship. And worship always includes some form of serving. Amen. Praise the Lord. In fact, we even think about the word minister. The very word minister means that you minister to somebody, that you minister something. And to minister doesn't just mean somebody who has they have a tattoo of a cross or something like that, and they preach the word, but they go out and they actually do something for other people. They serve. Glory to God. But the Bible says, whatever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. God calls us to himself because he reaches out to all. And this is something that the Lord started showing me, you know, in pertaining to this message. The reason why God calls him to himself, the reason why he calls us to worship him, the reason why he calls us to serve him is because God doesn't need us. You understand that? He never needed us. I know it got quiet in here, but you shouldn't be shocked by that. God doesn't need you. You do nothing for God that, in the sense of there's nothing that you could add to the table that if you didn't exist, it would change his existence one bit. Not one bit. In fact, God didn't need you to save people. He didn't need you, but he wanted you. And there's a difference. There's a difference between needing and wanting. Amen? And God didn't need us, but he wanted us. Praise the Lord. So when God calls us to worship him or when he calls us to serve him, he doesn't call us because he needs us. He calls us because he desires us. But he desires something more. See, when God brings anybody to himself, the thing that he does is sends them out. God doesn't just keep it all to himself. Even though he's the one who's worthy to be worshiped nonstop for eternity, but he is willing to send that out. And so what God does is when he draws people to himself, he sends them out to do good to others. This is exactly why, and I believe the Lord showed me this, this is exactly why when they asked Jesus what the most important law was, he said two things. He didn't say one. He said two things. The first, of course, is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, and your mind. Praise the Lord. And then the second, which is like it, he said, is to love others as yourself. Praise the Lord. You can look at it this way, to serve others the way you would serve him. To serve others is important to God. And God saw it was so important that he couldn't just give them one law that was important. He said, there's two that are equal to me. Amen. Praise the Lord. So we're going to see that we're going to look at this a little bit deeper. Let's go on over there to Luke. Luke 4. Praise the Lord. We're going to keep that in mind. Whatever we do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Praise God. Hallelujah. Luke 4. God has called us to be servants. In fact, we know that. He was talking to his disciples and he said, whoever decides or desires to be great must become a servant of all, right? Jesus, the Lord of glory, the desire of nations, washed the dirty feet of a bunch of sinners, right? A bunch of unsaved, unworthy men. But Jesus did that because he said, if you want to be great, you must serve. Now, I'm going to present to you tonight, you know, a lot of times when we talk about serving, of course, we talk about serving in the local church, which is important. And I think pretty much everybody in here in some capacity, not pretty much everybody in here in some capacity serves in their local church. But do you understand that serving in your local church isn't the highest calling that you've been called to? Serving is your highest calling. And serving is something that we do despite us. In fact, to be a servant gives you the idea of being enslaved. Amen? We are bound by what we're supposed to serve. We're bound in our hearts because of our salvation. We're bound to serve. And what I mean by bound, I don't mean we're bound to do it. I mean we are bound, like we're tied up, like we're put in prison. Like it is something that we have no choice in. How do we serve? We should consider our lives as service for the Lord and service for his kingdom. Amen. Praise the Lord. And so over here, we see Jesus. We're starting in Luke 4 and verse 1. I'm going to read down through verse 8. I love this account. This is, of course, the temptation of Jesus. It says, Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan that was after he was baptized and was led around by the Spirit in the wilderness. I love that. I love that, that it says he was led around by the Spirit in the wilderness. So a few things that we can take out of this is, number one, the Spirit led Jesus to the wilderness. The wilderness is always, almost always metaphorical, even though it actually happened, but it's a metaphor for a place in life that maybe just doesn't seem like, it's not the place you want to be. It's not the place, it almost seems a little bit lost. The idea of the wilderness is to a little bit of danger, a little bit of lost. Not maybe quite knowing where you're going. But it says here, in this, at least in this version, it says that that he was led around by the Spirit in the wilderness. It gives us the impression that Jesus didn't exactly know what he was doing. It gives us the impression that Jesus didn't exactly know where he was going. That he went as he was led, and maybe in that moment as he was led, he knew. But it gives us the understanding. And this is exactly what the leading of the Lord does. The leading of God never brings us to a place where we know the fullness of his plan all up front. It never brings us to a place of really understanding everything. There's going to be a lot of things that God will call us to that we aren't going to understand. There's going to be a lot of things that we're going to labor for that we don't understand. But our if we understand what our job is to serve. And a servant doesn't ask for a different task. A servant doesn't ask for the day off. The servant doesn't ask for, reprieve from the, they do what they're told to do because they're servants. And this is exactly what we're called to be in the body of Christ. And if you want to know the truth about something, you want me to tell you the truth, you want me to lie. If you want to know the truth about something, I'll tell you. The reason that the body of Christ isn't seeing more power than it's seeing is because there's a lot of people that are being served and not enough people serving. There's a lot of people that go to God for something and not go to God with something. There's a lot of people that come to church to receive, but not enough people that come to church to give out. There's a lot of people that are focused on them and aren't focused on something else. And you know something? A servant can't be focused on themselves. Because they'll miss the cues. They'll miss the leadings. They'll miss the things. And Jesus understood this. That's exactly why he did it. And that's exactly why he taught his disciples to do the same thing. And it's exactly why the Bible calls us to continue on in the same way. You know, Jude 1:3, it says, it tells us to earnestly contend for the faith once delivered to the saints. You know what the faith once delivered to the saints is? That you can serve in the freedom of Christ. That you can serve with the freedom of knowing that you can accomplish all that God has called you to. But you've got to be sold out to it. And I'm going to tell you something. I know you're not sold out to it. And I'll tell you how I know you're not sold out to it, because I haven't been sold out to it. And I can look around and I can see other people that they're not sold out to it. We got to get so sold out to God. I said we got to get so sold out to God that it hurts. We got to get so sold out to God that it hurts us. Praise the Lord. Now, when I say it hurts us, I don't mean that we can't have any kind of good life and you just got to throw off. That's not what we're talking about. And that's not what Jesus taught either. In fact, Jesus taught people how to love better than anyone knew how to love. Jesus taught how to have friends and to be a friend. Glory to God. He taught it better than anybody. He taught his disciples how to enjoy life, how to do the kingdom, work the kingdom of God, but do it in ease and do it in joy. And the reason that we don't have ease and joy is because we haven't sold out yet. And we need to get to that place where we sold out. People want miracles, but you're never going to have miracles in a church where the people aren't completely sold out. I said completely sold out. You know, it's like when people, you know, they have a choice between a barbecue or they are going to church, and they're going to pick the barbecue most of the time. Or you know, and there's nothing wrong with missing church. I'm not talking about that. It's not about missing church, but it's about understanding the importance of why we come together. It's understanding that if there's something there, that if I can't be here, there's a reason that is really keeping me from being here. And it's really got to be a legitimate reason, in my opinion. The reason we show up the way we do is because we understand something about the local church. That it's where we come together to get direction, to go out in the world and to serve. But if people don't come, if people aren't connected, then that's why we have to care about who's coming and who's not. That's why every person we see when we go into Walmart, we have to have the heart to say they need to be in a local church. Every person we see when we go into the drugstore or when we go grocery shopping or when we're just pumping our gas, we have to have a heart that says, Lord, if you would talk to me right now, if you would tell me the words of how I can reach them, I will say those words. I am sold out to you and I will serve you. It doesn't matter what your personality is. It doesn't matter what your background is. It doesn't matter how much of the Bible you know. All that matters is that you love God and you need to share it with someone else. And so you need to look for the opportunity. You need to look for the opportunity to serve. The number one thing, I've even seen this in ministries that are calling for great miracles. And why do they call for the miracles? I'm not judging particular ministries, but I'm saying, why do you ask for it? Why do you want miracles? Is it so the ministry grows? Or do you want the miracles because you really want to see people set free? Can you cry with somebody who's crying? Because the Bible says to weep with those who weep. Can you mourn with those who are mourning? Because the Bible says to mourn. Or you're so spiritual that you can't even get to their level. You can't stoop down to that level no more. The Bible tells us that Christ cried. Praise the Lord. He wept. And there's a lot of people that try to over-spiritualize it. And they say this or that. Christ wept because he was moved. The Bible says he was moved with compassion. At least several times we know that Jesus was moved with compassion. And until we have a compassion, until we have a love for the people of God, until we're willing to serve because our hearts are to see them blessed, you're not going to see miracle changes. Praise the Lord. You can manufacture some things. You can make things look pretty good for a while. But sooner or later, if God ain't in it, it's going to all come crumbling down. Sooner or later, if God ain't in it, somebody's going to call your bluff. And I'm just telling you right now, I want nothing less than the full power of God that He has intended for this church and for our other church or any other church that God would call us to go to or any other place that God would go to. And every Christian should have that same desire. Praise the Lord. I'm going to tell you something really important. The only way you're going to stoke that desire, the only way you build a fire is when you feed it. You know, you can let a fire burn. But if you want that fire to keep going, what do you got to do? You got to keep feeding it. And so if you want that fire in you, you got to keep feeding it. You got to stir it up in yourself daily. You got to look at the Lord and say, Lord, if your heart is not this, you got to look at it and say, Lord, my heart is not this, but I want it to be that way. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Well, we were reading some scripture here. He was led about in the wilderness for 40 days, being tempted by the devil, and he ate nothing during those days. And when they had ended, he became hungry. And the devil said to him, if you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread. And Jesus answered him, it is written, man shall not live on bread alone. Praise the Lord. And he led him up. I want you to hear that again. The devil led Jesus up. The devil led Jesus. The devil led Jesus. Think about that. Let that sink in for a minute. The devil led the Son of God. The Son of God, the man who never sinned. Praise the Lord. The devil led him. That's food for thought. And he led him up and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said to him, I will give you all this domain and its glory, for it has been handed over to me, and I give it to whomever I wish. Therefore, if you will worship before me, it shall all be yours. Before I go on to the next verse, I want to recall what I said before I got into this section of scriptures, that God calls him to himself because he reaches out to all. Notice when the devil calls, it's always to fulfill the flesh or to fulfill his desire. God's desire is people. The devil is, worship me. God doesn't tell you to worship him because he needs you to worship him. He tells you to worship him because of what worship for him does, what it does in a human. But worship for the devil only feeds the flesh. And notice how that's the devil, how he always tempted. And that's how he's always going to tempt you. He's going to tempt you with the flesh. Do what you desire. Do what makes you happy. You know, I've been noticing this more and more as I've been seeking God and endeavoring to be more in the will of God. How many know I'm not there yet? And you're not there yet either, right? Praise the Lord. But how, as I've been desiring to get more and to know him more and to be more fully in this plan and to understand more fully what I've got to do, you know what God always does with me? He deals with me on me. He makes me look inwardly. He always points and says, that stinks. Get rid of it. That's rotten. Cut it out. That's cancerous. Get rid of it because it's no good. Praise the Lord. You know, there's a lot of people that go around, they get a lot of direction of how wonderful they are and but God always deals with myself. You know what? God has given us all things. There's nothing he'll withhold. No good thing will he withhold from them who walks uprightly, the Bible tells us. Right? But what was I telling you earlier? Not everything that you could get is necessarily going to help you. See, God was showing me recently, he was showing me how being uncomfortable sometimes is good because it puts my flesh in a place of being crucified. Why? Because in order to follow and through with something, sometimes I have to do something that means crucifying the flesh. Well, what do you mean, Pastor Jeff? I mean like standing in front of y'all right tonight and talking to you. Praise the Lord. To preach in front of a group of people is not what I desired in my flesh. There was nothing I chased after there. It was nothing that I wanted, nothing I wanted to make happen. But God would have me do it over and over and over. And you know, sometimes I don't feel the anointing there. Sometimes I come to the pulpit and I don't even know if I'm going to say two words. if I'm going to be able to put two sentences together. There's sometimes I come to the pulpit with fear and trembling in my flesh, but I come because I'm serving God, because I know what I'm called to. And at least in that area, I've been somewhat faithful. Amen? And I'm not saying that to look at me and say, hey, praise the Lord, I'm so awesome, you need to, like, you know, pat me on the back. That's not why I'm saying it. But I'm saying it because we all have places we win and we all have places we lose. Certainly I've had places where I've lost too. But the point that I'm trying to make is we have to be okay sometimes with not being comfortable. You say, well, wait a minute, Pastor Jeff, God told you that. He wasn't telling me. He was telling me because he wants me to share it with you. I believe that because God doesn't do anything in my life, praise the Lord, that he isn't want me to, that he isn't intending on me using, praise the Lord, to help other people. Glory to God. It's okay to be uncomfortable at times because we trust God. It's okay to not have things exactly the way we want. Do you know sometimes it's okay if you can't pay your bills? I said sometimes it's okay if you can't pay your bills. Why? How are you ever going to have compassion on somebody who can't meet their needs? If you can't, if you've just always had everything handed to you. Praise the Lord. I'm just telling you the truth. It's okay sometimes if your healing doesn't come right now. Will it come? I believe that it will. I believe in God's healing power. But sometimes it's okay if it lasts through the night. Why? Because it'll make you compassionate on somebody who's suffering. And that's how you can serve them. And see, that's exactly what I mean. If we would start looking at our lives and we would start turning things around and say, you know something? I can see this from a different point of view. Not that I'm happy about it. Not that I'm happy that I stubbed my toe. Praise the Lord. You know, sometimes it's good that you stub your toe. And you know why? Because it reminds you that you're flesh. It reminds you that you're not invincible. It reminds you that, you know, sometimes it's good I know this all sounds like it's opposite of what we normally teach, but it really isn't. Because what we've been saying for a really long time is what's best is to follow God. And in that, not everything is always going to seem perfect. We've got to be okay with that. We got to trust Him. Now, we're not going to backslide either. We're not going to go back to the place that says, well, you know, I guess God just wants me sick, so I'm going to be sick all my life. And I don't think we should do that either. Or I'm just poor, so God's going to want me poor all my life. That's not what the Bible says. But the Bible does teach us that there's times, there's periods of time. Not everything is there all up front, and we got to be okay with that. It's okay for you to be uncomfortable. Amen? Praise the Lord. Verse 8 says, Jesus answered him, it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Glory to God. God has called us into service. The devil says, serve me and I'll satisfy the flesh. God says to crucify the flesh. So why do you think that people don't always run to the God message? See, they don't always run to that because the devil's message sounds more fun. The flesh sound, it sounds better to serve the flesh. But see, if you're at least middle age, I would say, or older, you've started learning something, and what you've started learning is that the flesh eventually starts wearing out. That eventually things aren't always going to be just like they were. You're not going to be as fast as you once were, right? That's right. Amen. Praise the Lord. So the things that you think when you're young are so important, you learn maybe aren't as important later on. But you can get balance in these things, and that's exactly what we need. And we get balance when we look to God and we trust Him for what He has for us. Knowing that it's good, but knowing that in good, there's going to be times of opposition. Knowing at times where even though it's good, even though God wants good for you, that there are going to be days where the devil's going to tempt you. But you have to be okay with God, and you have to be okay with serving Him. Serving shouldn't be something that slows down because now we're being tempted. Serving shouldn't be something that slows down because now there's things trying to pull our attention away. But serving is something that should be part of who we are, understanding that it is who we are. Glory to God. And how do I best do that, Lord? And that's how you do it best, is you go before the Lord and you continually ask Him, Lord, am I pleasing to You? Is this thing that I'm doing, is this what You want me to do? Or do You want something more from me? Is there, and almost to a point, I don't know if you've ever been there, but I certainly have, that there's been times where I've just wanted so much to be serving God right that it's almost like I'm just aching for it. I just want to know. I just want to do that next thing. Whatever it is, God, I want to pass this test because I want to get on to what you have for me next. Amen? Praise the Lord. And what I found is that this is the life that God can work through. This is the life that you can bless. And this is what we're going to see in the next set of scriptures we're going to. Go, turn with me to Exodus 23. Amen. You know, there's some things. When I first started preaching, you know, sometimes I would approach scripture, I think, a little bit differently than I would today. How many know that there's, as you go, you know, when you get to 12th grade, you knew more than you did in 11th grade. Yeah. When you got to 11th, you knew more than 10th. Praise the Lord. Well, I just graduated kindergarten, I think. Praise the Lord. And so I'm learning some things. But, you know, I used to read the Bible like this, that if I just go, you know, if I'd see it in the Old Testament, it looked good, I'd just take it and say, hey, that must be for me too. Yeah. But, you know, the Bible doesn't always, that's not the way that the Bible works. Right. And I believe that there's a lot of things for us in the Old Testament. But the verdict for me is out on some things. I'll just say that. And so, you know, as we grow, as we continue to shoot for first grade, you know, as we continue to get through this semester or whatever, we're just going to continue. You know, if you walk with me, we'll get there together. Praise the Lord. I believe that we will. But God, I know this, that there's something that we can always take out of Scripture. Amen. And so even though we're not going to necessarily point to a scripture back there where there's a promise to one person and say, well, that automatically belongs to me, I don't believe that that's necessarily what the Bible is telling us, and I don't believe that's necessarily the case. I'll give you an example. I always heard the phrase, you know, and it's a scripture, but it says that we have a better covenant based on better promises. And while I do believe that with all my heart, I don't believe that that necessarily means that everything that was promised in the Old Testament specifically belongs to us. At one time, I did believe that. And at one time, I would have preached that. But I don't believe that that necessarily is what that scripture is saying. But I believe the idea of it is much more than that. I'm going to leave it at that. I'm not going to say that it doesn't apply or that you can't see something in the Old Testament and it wouldn't apply to you. Amen. But I think we need to be considerate in how we look to our doctrine that way. Amen. Praise the Lord. But that doesn't mean that we would exclude Old Testament, and we're going to get into some things. I hope that makes some sense. And so Exodus 23, praise the Lord, verse 25. Glory to God. And it says here, but you shall serve the Lord your God, and he will bless your bread and your water. And I will remove sickness from your midst. There shall be no one miscarrying or barren in your land. I will fulfill the number of your days. I will send my terror ahead of you and throw into confusion all the people among you, among whom you come. And I will make all your enemies turn their backs to you. I'm going to stop there for a second and kind of qualify some of the things that I was just saying. You know, one thing we have to understand about this set of scriptures, and again, like I said, I would have read it differently before. I've heard it read differently before. One of the things that I see in these scriptures is very important to note is that God is speaking to an entire nation of Jews, an entire nation of Israelites. And he's talking to them collectively. You know, so it's not necessarily an individual thing. Now, we know that there's a difference between trusting God for yourself and trusting God as a group. Yeah. There are some things as a group, there's some things we will only get to as a group. Wow. Praise the Lord.
Yeah, that's good.
My wife and I know what our call is down here in Corey, Pennsylvania. Yeah. We can come down here every week and never accomplish a call if the group doesn't go with. Praise the Lord. And so whoever's called to go, whoever's called to serve, whoever's called to labor for the work, if they don't do their part, there is no fulfillment of the call. So do we have biblical precedence for that? I think we do with the Jews when they went to the promised land. A couple of them said, yes, we'll go. The rest of them said, cried and said, we can't. So we have to understand that the work of the Lord and the blessing of the Lord sometimes depends on the collective. Do you need a miracle in your life? You might. There might be a time, even if you don't, there might be a time where you do need a miracle in your life. Sometimes the miracles that we are waiting for are dependent on other people. Sometimes the miracles that we're waiting for are dependent on the collective coming together and trusting God and serving Him. Amen? Praise the Lord. Now, I didn't plan on preaching on any of that, but that all just came to me as I was starting to read these. You shall serve the Lord your God, and He will bless your bread and water. I believe that. But again, He is talking, and there is a certain level of things that we can do. Yeah, God will bless our lives. He will bless them as much as He can and as far as He can. God wants to do that, our individual lives. But we have to understand there are certain things we can't get into unless the collective gets into it. There are certain things that God said you're a body. Listen, praise the Lord. You know, if your body dies, is your hand affected? Yeah. If your brain dies, is your foot affected? Of course it is. Why do you think He called us the body of Christ? Because if the body is mostly dead and you're hanging on, you're a little toe hanging on, guess what? You know, that God might have to transplant you and put you somewhere where you're going to be effective or where things can be effective. But God is long-suffering towards us all, and we have to understand that. That is not why I'm preaching on these scriptures. Like I said, I wasn't planning on that. But what we see here is it says you'll serve the Lord. You talked about serving. You shall serve the Lord your God. That word serve sometimes is also used, transplanted with the word worship. There are some places in Scripture where that word is in the Old Testament where that word is used as worship. And we have to understand that our worship for God, you know, we can come and praise God and sing a song and be all into it in the moment. That is not true worship to God. That is an aspect of true worship. I'm not taking that from you. But we have to understand that in service is where the worship truly is found. Because you can't say, Lord, I love you, and not serve His people. Because you don't. You can't say, Lord, I love you, and I want your plan, but you won't do anything that God has asked you to do. Praise the Lord. And God has given us a local church as a place to start. Unfortunately, there's a lot of people that it starts and ends. So then, I'll serve once a month in this place, but that's all I'm going to do. And that's not what God has called us to. See, that's not service towards God. That's lip service. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. But you see the things that He's doing here. There shall be no one miscarrying or barren in your land. I will fulfill the number of your days. I will send my terror ahead of you and throw into confusion all the people among whom you come. And I will make your enemies turn their backs to you. Now you have to understand that here again, He's speaking to people who He's directed to do something. And He said, this is the plan that you've got to get involved in. This is where you got to go. This is what you got to do. And as you follow that, as you serve me and listening to what I've called you to, praise the Lord, hear what I'm saying. Because what he called the Israelites to going into the promised land is no different than what He's called you to do when He's called you into a local church. He's called you to be connected to it and to go where He said to go. And He's like, as you go, I will be with you. I will protect you. I will drive out your enemies. I will stop it before it comes. I will bless your bread and water. Glory to God. See, there's a lot of Christians that are saying, well, I come to church and I even tithe once in a while, or I tithe all the time and I even serve once in a while and stuff like that. But you're not going with the plan. You're not fulfilling what God has called you to do. See, just showing up is the start. If you showed up tonight, you started. I said you've started. But there's a plan. And that plan involves your life and everything that's in your life. You know what we did with our kids when we knew what the plan was? We included them in our life. We included them in the plan. Because that's what God had called us to do. And the things, decisions that we made, different decisions we've made over the years, we've made because of the plan, not because it was even what we wanted to do, but because what the plan requires us to do. The plan may require you to lay down something for a time or forever. The plan may require you to do something specific or to be somewhere specific or to enable your life to do a certain thing so you can be somewhere specific. Praise the Lord. One of the things I've learned from being a pastor is I've lost a lot of the specifics that I wanted. Praise the Lord. I don't want to be here. I want to be over there. Too bad you got to be here because this is where I've called you. This is the plan. This is the door that I've opened to you. And so if you want your food and water blessed, if you want to not be barren in the land, if you want to be fruitful where you go, if you want to walk out, if you want your enemies to flee from you, then you've got to go this way, Jeff. You can't go your way. Amen. Everything in life. Do you know my wife and I don't even live in the town that we would have picked? Or in the house. We're blessed by both. But we don't even live in the house that we would have chosen. We're blessed by it. You might look at it and think, that's a great house, praise the Lord. And it is a great house. We're very blessed. I'm not arguing that. But I'm just saying that if we had choice, it's not what we would have chosen. Praise the Lord. Sometimes the plan calls you to do something specific, and that specific is not what you would have done. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Sometimes it's, you know, there's times where, you could make money over here doing this or doing that. Sorry, can't do it. It's not part of the plan. It distracts me from the plan, and so I can't do it. And you say, well, how does this apply to my life? I don't know, because I don't know all your plan or what you're doing or what you're planning or what I don't know what you've put before the Lord. But we have to be willing to sacrifice it before the Lord. Amen? Amen. Glory to God. You know, when Isaac was being offered up by Abraham, it wasn't so much that God wanted him to sacrifice him. Actually, it wasn't that at all. He wanted him to be willing to. Praise the Lord. Sometimes God is going to require us to lay things on the altar. But we all know that those things, and listen, if there's something that you desire greatly, be sure that that's probably one of the first things that you're going to have to lay on the altar. Now, don't get goofy about this. God isn't going to tell you to lay your spouse on the altar. Amen. Isn't going to tell you to lay your neighbor on the altar. But they could tell you to do certain things that you want. Amen. And so we have to understand that. Well, anyways. Praise God, hallelujah. But then it goes on here to say, I love this in verse 29, and will not drive them, verse 28 says, I will send hornets ahead of you so that they will drive out the Hivites, the Canaanites, and the Hittites before you. I will not drive them out before you in a single year, that the land may not become desolate and the beasts of the field become too numerous for you. Notice that God's provision, even though God's provision is there and the provision to get the provision is there, but there was a period of time where it says not until you're able to. Do you realize there's some things that you're going to desire in life as just a person that you're not able to walk into yet? And so the time isn't for the provision. But if you wait for the right time, if you'll be patient and let God work it out, you'll walk into it. And that's exactly what this is telling us. Amen? Amen. I will drive them out before you little by little until you become fruitful and take possession of the land. Christians, you want the fullness of the plan of God. You want all of God's blessing because you're asking for it. Because we've heard it. We've heard it. But he said little by little. When you're able to possess it. God isn't going to let it come into your life. You can desire it all you want. You can think it's what you need. You can think it's the most important thing in your life. This is why I'm wholly against the idea of going to God and saying, I want this and I want that, and then expecting that he's just going to bring it. Because God doesn't do that. He didn't do it for them, and he's not going to do it for us. What is it? It's about seeking God and finding the Lord. What is mine right now? What am I supposed to do right now? And then trusting him and saying, I know that the things that are right and good, he will bring in the right time. Amen. But you see that right here. I will drive them out before you little by little until you become fruitful and take possession of the land. Amen. Glory to God. This we have to remember. Lessons from the religious people of old. It is not just that we do something. It's why we do it. A lot of times, we are looking for the answer to our problems, but we are asking the wrong questions. The answer should a lot of times be found in, how am I serving God? And how am I serving people? So often we get caught up on the what that we don't consider the why. You know, any minister, if you desire to minister, I don't know if you do or not, but any minister has to ask themselves this all the time. Why do I desire to minister? Yeah. Do I desire because I have a voice and I want that voice to be heard? Or do I desire it because it's what God wants to use in the moment? And if that's the case, you can always see that by, if you're not getting used, how you feel about that. Because there's been people, I've actually heard of people that have done that, that they've been trained and they feel the call to ministry, which is great and wonderful, but then I don't have any platform to be used here, so I'm going to move on. That's a dumb reason to leave a place where God has you planted. That's a dumb reason to leave what God has for you. You know, just because you're not getting what you think you ought to be getting, it's not about you. It's about serving others. You know, Jesus was perfectly okay with not ministering. He was perfectly okay with washing of the feet of the disciples. And that's exactly what we have to do. As we are moving through this life, as we're doing things, why are we doing them? Why do we come to church? Why do we care about it? You know, Matthew 15:8, Jesus said, "This people honors me with their lips, but the heart is far away from me." They honored him with their lips. They said the right things. Christians, you can say the right thing, but where is your heart in the matter? Do you truly desire the plan and hope for the plan of God? Do you expect the plan of God? Do you truly desire what he wants to do? Or are you desiring because of what it looks like for you? What does this look like for me? If that's the heart of your desire, you're honoring with your lips, but you're denying him by your actions. What is the heart behind what we do? Why do we do it? Why am I going to do this or that? Why am I, sometimes it's, why am I sacrificing? Am I sacrificing so I can get the applause of people? Amen. Turn with me to Ephesians. We're going to close here. Ephesians 6. Ephesians 6. Get there eventually. Ephesians 6, verses 7 and 8. Praise the Lord. That was verse 6. Well, let's start in verse 6, because that's pretty good too. "Not by way of eye service as men pleasers, but as slaves of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. With good will render service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatever good thing each one does, this he will receive back from the Lord, whether slave or free." I love that it uses as example, this is not the Bible's way of saying, telling us that slavery is a good thing. But what he's saying is the ultimate in both extremes of what we can expect, whether it be slavery or complete freedom. He says in either one of them, it doesn't matter. We can still do the will of the Lord. And the Apostle Paul is really making here to the Ephesians is that it doesn't matter where you're at. If you do it with the right heart, it doesn't matter where you're at. It's acceptable and it's pleasing to the Lord. See, nobody is without excuse. Nobody is like, "Oh, well, I was bound here, I was bound there." No, you're only bound to Christ if you've truly given your life to him. So with goodwill, render service. With goodwill. That means you have to will it. You have to desire it. With goodwill, render service. As to the Lord. whatever we do, and not to men, knowing that whatever good thing each one does, this he will receive back from the Lord, whether slave or free. So many things in life that Christians who are being taught these messages, and it's a blessing. We need to know that God loves us and that he wants to bless us. We need to know that. We need to understand that. But so many people in life are not receiving that blessing because their focus is all off. It's all askew. What they're doing is they're focusing on everything else, or they're focusing on themselves and what they want, and they're not focusing. They're not doing it as unto the Lord. They're doing it to get somewhere, but not to be where he wants them to be. And there's a big difference. So as we go forward, as we go out there in this world, we have to consider these things, folks. We have to be looking for opportunity at every door. This church is only here because somebody's willed to do God's will, to fulfill it. There was other churches that were here before in this building that built this building to be what it is. I mean, we redid some things in here, but this building was made to be a church. And God has called it. But people have given up because at some point they were men-pleasing and not pleasing to the Lord. Because God isn't starting something, but you have to desire it. Every person in here, and especially, I'll say this, if you know this is your permanent home, especially if this is your permanent home, you need to be good with that. You need to be full of that. Your heart has to be for this work and the service that God wants you to do here. And you have to be willing to do whatever it would be to do. Amen. There's no more of the, you know, the laying down and saying, I just don't think I can do that, or I'm just not that person. No, Lord, what do you want me to do? You can't go to him with stipulations and then expect the fullness of the plan of God. You have to be open to what God is going to do. And if you're open, watch and see what the Lord will do. Amen.